Very few of my children truly understand how much I want to fill their lives with my presence. I want you to know me very closely and very intimately. I want my presence to fill yours every day, continually, throughout each and every day. I want my presence to fill your life so much that you are constantly aware that I am there with you. But the only way that that's going to happen is if you let me do it. Too many push me away with unbelief, questioning what I do and what I'm not doing. But I say to you, if you will just trust me in everything, trust me in every part of your life, and truly seek after me, casting down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of me, then I will be able to make myself more and more clear to you. You will understand my presence. You will understand my love. You will understand my faithfulness. Please believe me in this. Yield to me. Seek me with everything within you. Focus on me throughout your day. And I will become more real to you than ever before. Remember what I said in my word, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. My presence brings that joy. So focus on me. Press into me. And let me fill your life with my presence like never before. Would you please turn to Psalm chapter 7? And I'd like for everybody to turn there. Psalm chapter 7. And I am looking. People are still turning pages. Those of you watching, same thing. Join us, Psalm chapter 7. I know some people have an electronic device. That's all right, I guess. Psalm chapter 7. Tell you a story here while you're turning. I mean, Psalm chapter 7, not that hard to find, but I'll tell you a story while you're looking for it. Here not too long ago, I was talking to some kids who go to a Christian school, and they were saying, we have to have a Bible for school. And in the conversation, they were saying that the school told them they have to have a new international version. And when I first said they needed a Bible, I'm thinking, we could help them get a Bible if their parents can't, money's tight, whatever. Then when they said New International Version, I thought, I'm not giving you one of those. I'm just flat out not. And, I've stood here and I've taught before. In fact, I've even exposed errors in the New International Version. They've even left verses out. And I don't know, the way I'm thinking about it is this. Okay. If you have a Christian school and you have teachers, and man, I'm sorry if this comes across mean, but if you have teachers who are so inept that they cannot teach from the King James to their kids, no matter what the age, you've got a problem in that school, a real problem. Because if those kids are being taught from the New International Version, then later on, let's say that they're in a church, like this one, but, teaches from the King James. They're going to hear things that contradict what they were taught. They're going to hear things that contradict what they've read. They're going to hear things read that they never could find in the NIV. And now what? We're going to be telling them, you spent 7 years of your life listening to lies. Now, again, I'm not trying to be mean, but When they said that, I thought, that tells me a lot about this school. And the school is sponsored by a church that teaches you must be born again. And they, well, I don't know if they still teach this, but used to, taught, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's part of a denomination that teaches that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues and all that. So, you know, we're living in a day and age. Man, I'm telling you what, there's compromise. I mean, it's all over the place. Stay on the path, guys. Stay on the path. Now, how many of you found Psalm chapter 7? Very good. All right. Would you all please stand? Psalm chapter 7. And I want you to read this with me out loud. Out loud means you don't mumble. Out loud. Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Psalm 30, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give Thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among much people. Psalm 86, verse 12. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify Thy name forever. Psalm 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. One more. Psalm 118, verse 28. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. And you may be seated. Now here's my question. Did you mean what you just said? Did you mean it? And did you mean it? Because what you just did, even if you didn't mean it, even if you were just reading it because, well, pastor said everybody read, okay. But what came out of your mouth was a promise to God. I will praise You. I will praise You. You are my God. And I will sing. With my mouth, I will praise You. Where it talks about my glory, will praise You and not keep silent. What that's talking about is when we get born again, our born again spirit has been, let me say it like this, glorified with His life. And in the New Testament, don't have time to talk about this, but it talks about, you know, the glory that God used to raise up Jesus from the dead. He's also used that same glory to raise us up. My glory is my born again spirit, my life in me. My glory will praise You. I will sing praises to You in the midst of the congregation. I will do that. Now, just, you know, kind of sit there and think the answer to yourself. But did you mean what you just said? Because God heard you. And He knows what you said. Now maybe, again, it was just an academic exercise for you. To where you went along with what we said, you know, read this out loud. But concerning what we read, what was it that you just read out loud that you didn't like? What was it about all those verses we just read that you feel like are in error or inappropriate or don't apply to you? What did you find fault with in everything we just read? Now, honestly, if you're born again, then your answer is, well, I couldn't find fault in anything. And when it comes to actually the doing of what we just read, and that was just a sampling of verses, when it comes to the doing, isn't that what we ought to be doing? I mean, should that not be what happens? So this kind of goes back to everything that you just read. Did you mean it? And you might be thinking, well, yeah, Pastor Jim, I meant it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I read this and I meant it. Okay, all right. Well, since you meant it, are you doing it? Are you doing it? And that's where, you know, as they say, the rubber meets the road. I don't know where that phrase came up with, but that's really the challenge. Are you doing it? And that's only something you can answer. And really, I think it would be best, I know it would be best, if you were totally honest, meaning, did you mean what you just read? Did you mean what you said? And are you doing it? Well, if you're not doing it, don't sit there and think, yeah, I'm doing it. Because God knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts before you think them. That's scary. But He knows. He's, you know, Alpha and Omega. Now, what we're going to do is listen to two audio clips. Audio clips from a couple of our services. Now, the first one we're going to listen to is from this past Sunday morning's service. So go ahead and play that one.
Even now, Jesus is the captain of the army of the Lord. And Lord Jesus, right now, we just commit to you. Lord, we stand at attention in your presence. We say yes, Lord, to whatever you ask. We trust you, God. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes. I've seen the Lord, but He's as a soldier standing next to some of you. He's standing there and He's saying, at attention, soldier. At attention, soldier. Jesus. Almost like there's been an apathy or like an unbelief, but He is saying here, don't take Him for granted. Don't take Him for granted. Stand at attention in His presence. Not because He's severe, although the Bible says He can be. But because He's your captain. So God, right now, even now, Lord, if that applies to any one of us, we say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. You are our captain, Jesus.
Now that audio clip, as I said, was from this past Sunday morning. Now the next audio clip we're going to hear came from this past Wednesday night. So go ahead and play that one.
Never stop, never stop working.
Okay, y'all have to sing that with us. Sometimes it feels like we're singing alone. Hallelujah. Some of you are singing. Why don't you get up on your feet, everyone? Please stand. Please stand. Hallelujah. Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you believe that we serve a miracle-working God?
The Word. Hallelujah.
God's Hallelujah. Word. Let's not Hallelujah. Just sing. Let's declare it like we mean it. Amen. 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 And even if you're feeling in doubt, just override that. Your spirit wants to sing. Your spirit wants to praise Him. It doesn't really matter how you feel. You just don't give voice to it. Amen. we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No matter how you feel, no matter the circumstances, hallelujah, Jesus. No matter what's going on in your mind, right now, in the name of Jesus, you declare His goodness. You declare His goodness, because that's who He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
One week ago, during the praise and worship, the Lord moved, and what we heard was this. It's almost like there's been an apathy or like an unbelief. But He's saying, don't take Him for granted. Don't take Him for granted. 4 days later, here's what we heard. Okay, you all just sing that with us, okay? Sometimes it feels like we're singing alone. Some of you are singing. Why don't you get up on your feet? Everyone, please stand. Please stand. So God tells us on a Sunday not to take Him for granted. And then 4 days later, people are taking Him for granted. 4 days later. Why did that happen? Maybe it wasn't you. I don't know. But why did that happen? And I sincerely hope all the people who call this their home church that regularly attend who aren't here, I hope they listen to this. Because everybody who calls this their home church needs to hear it. For one thing, there should never have been an atmosphere of apathy here in this church. During a service for praise and worship, there should never have been an atmosphere of apathy. And if that's not bad enough, 4 days later, the people who brought that in with them, who were admonished not to take the Lord for granted, had to be reminded that they were taking Him for granted. Sometimes it feels like we're singing alone. Now, I don't turn around and look to see who's doing what. But I can feel it when I'm standing up there with my back turned to you. I can feel it. And I guess my question is, after all these years, why on earth should those things have ever needed to be said? Why? Why? You might be thinking, well, Pastor, it wasn't me, but okay, praise God, it wasn't you. But it was enough. And I'm guessing it was probably the majority of the people who were here. And I'm not talking about, you know, 25 and older. I'm talking all ages in the room. I'm talking everybody. That should never, those two, what we heard, should never have been said ever in this church by this time. Now, I walked into this building as the pastor for the first time on February 21st, 1999. Since then, between then and now, and not including today, I preached one message that had the words praise and worship in the title. I have preached 25 sermons that have the word praise in the title. I have preached 43 sermons that have the words worship, worshiping, or worshipers in the title. There have been two series about praise and worship, one titled Breaking Through with Worship. It had 8 sermons. One titled Unleashing the Power of Worship that had 8 sermons. That's a total of 85 sermons on praise and worship. And that doesn't include the unknown number of prophecies about praise and worship that we've had over the years. I didn't even go back and try to count those. There have been so many. 85 total messages. Lessons, teachings about praise and worship. That's a lot. Other than, I don't know. That might be the one subject I've taught on more than anything. I really don't know. I didn't go back and count everything else. 85 is a lot. Now, that should tell you something. That God is trying to get something across to us about praise and worship. Even if you have only heard 5 of the 85 and only 3 or 4 of the prophecies, if you're not doing this, there's something seriously wrong. You have a problem. And some people really get animated, you know, how dare you tell me, wait a second, after all those verses we just read, I will praise you. I will with my mouth. I will sing. In the congregation, I will. If you're not doing it by now, something's wrong. And we could all come up with, well, I think it's this that's wrong. I think it's that. But there's a problem. I mean, there really is a problem. Because if you can't come into a church like this, where there is the freedom to worship the Lord. Listen, you go into some churches, lift your hands, they might escort you out. I'm serious. But we don't do that around here. And you had best not be singing in the Spirit, because they definitely may escort you out. When you come into a church like this, where there is the freedom and the liberty to worship God, to praise Him, and you don't, let me rephrase that. And you don't every time you're here. Not just 90% of the time, 100%. If you don't, there's something wrong. I mean, there's something going on in you. There's a problem that needs to be dealt with. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. But see, we're talking about, we want an outpouring, we want revival. But guys, if we don't have the kind of worship that ushers in the presence of God, then why in the world should we expect to have this kind of outpouring and revival? This is critical. It's very serious. I wasn't raised in a church like this. I was raised in a church where you use the hymnal, sing the first, third, and fourth verse, and that's it. And you move on. Some services we sang 3 hymns, some 2, and maybe in the good services, we sang 4. And we all liked the song, when we all get to heaven, are you washed in the blood? There's power in the blood. I mean, the songs that kind of were motivating. Then there were other songs, you know, it's like, okay, are we done? But I wasn't raised in a church like this. In other words, I was not raised as a child in an atmosphere of praise and worship. It was something I was exposed to later on. In fact, I'm not trying to be mean to the church or denomination wherein I was raised, but there really wasn't an emphasis on it. I mean, we weren't taught. And I didn't know, and I didn't spend enough time reading the Bible to figure it out on my own. But when I got into a church like this one, where the praise and worship was there, I learned. And I realized, okay, this is good. This is of God. If you're not doing this, there's something wrong. And you need to address it, because as we continue in this morning, I'm going to help you understand that a lot of the things that you might have been wondering, you know, well, where is God, or where are my answers, or whatever, if you're not worshiping God and you don't start, then you may live the rest of your life with those questions. Because I'm telling you, worship is a key to unlock a relationship with God. You can be born again, but you might not have that kind of fellowship with Him. Now, in just a couple of moments here, we're going to be watching a video. Now, in this video, you're not going to hear any audio. All you're going to do is see this video. And the reason for that is because I don't want you distracted by this song. I want you to watch what is happening. Now, this video is of a worship service, And this particular video originally, this song was almost 11 minutes long, the way these people were worshiping. I don't know where it was recorded, a fellowship hall in a church. I don't know. But as you're watching this, you're going to notice there are two keyboard players. There are two people with microphones. There's also a drummer, but I don't think you're going to see the drummer in this portion of the video that I have cut out for us to watch today. It's only about maybe a minute and a half long. But go ahead and begin playing that. I just want you to pay close attention, not to the people with the microphones. I want you to look at every single person in this room. I want you to focus in on all the people around those who are playing the keyboard and singing in the microphone. And as you're watching this, I want you to look and see if you can find one person who is not engaged in this service. Look all around, people in the background, the people that are closer. There are several different camera shots as you can see this. And as you're looking, just keep looking off in the distance. Every time the camera changes its position, just look around and see if you can find people who are not worshiping, people who are not praising. And I'm not going to tell you what the name of the song is because I don't want you humming. I want you to focus on what you're seeing happen here. And as you watch this, you can see every single person in this video is worshiping God. And there are more people in this video than what we generally have in any of our services. 100% of these people were worshiping God. Now my question is this. Why isn't that happening here in every service? Because it's not. So why not? Because I can guarantee you, if you had been in that room with those people, even if you weren't worshiping God, you would have felt His presence because of that worship. So why is it that we don't have that here? You can't blame the worship team. You can't blame me. And you can't blame the devil. You can't blame God. I mean, the only person you can blame really is you. Because if you don't do it, it won't get done. Now, as you were watching this video, you noticed that every few seconds, the camera changed focus. I don't know how many cameras they had in this room, but different angles, and you were seeing different people. Okay, here in this room, in this sanctuary, we only have one camera, and that camera is focused here on the platform. But what if we added a couple of more cameras? And those cameras were focused out there on you. What would people see you doing during praise and worship? Because once we do that, once those cameras are focused on you, then 8 billion people have the opportunity to see you. Now, I know realistically the entire population of Earth isn't going to watch. I get that. But the potential is there. I mean, it could happen. But even if only 10 people are watching, what would they see when the camera is focused on the area where you are? I mean, would they see you worshiping? Would they see you engaged in this? And for some of you, you know the answer is, well, I hope they never put extra cameras in here. Because, you know, those folks up there, they weren't concerned about where's the camera. Those folks in the video, they weren't concerned about Who's going to see me? They came together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. And that's what they did. Now, here, howdy. Alright. I am fully aware that there are some people who get very offended at what I'm sharing here today. You know, who are you to tell me what to do? Well, a few moments ago, you just stood right here and you told God, I will praise you. A few moments ago, you declared, I'll sing in the midst of the congregation. I'll sing. So, you know, are you or are you not? Our pre-church attitude, I'm talking about before we arrive here, our pre-church attitude should be Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, some folks, I think they've misread that verse, thinking it says, I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because quite frankly, that's why some of you folks have been coming in over the years. You come in all jacked up. You come in, you're messed up. And what's happened, you've let the world dictate to you what your fellowship with God is going to be like. And this is on you. You say, well, Brother Martin, I feel like you're rebuking us. I am. But it's coming from the Lord. Okay, do you remember a few moments ago we had a prophetic word from the Lord and he said, you don't know how much I want my presence to fill your life? Okay, wow, I didn't put the two together till now. This is what God is trying to do. He's trying to help us understand, look, I want my presence to fill your life, but you've got to do your part. Once we arrive in church, you see, our pre-church attitude should be, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our attitude when we get here should be Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. See, these passages aren't just poetic in Scripture. God, every verse in Scripture is there for a reason. It's put there by God. And when he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name, what God is saying is, he's dropping some hints here. And he's saying, this is what you need to do when you come in here. When you come to this place as a congregation. Because see, if we do that, here's how he responds. Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, if he's going to inhabit the praises of Israel, I guarantee you he will inhabit the praises of the people who are washed in the blood of his Son and born of his Spirit. He inhabits our praises. So then, we prepare ourselves with an attitude that says, I'm going to church, and I'm glad that it's Sunday morning. I'm glad it's Sunday evening. I'm glad it's Wednesday night. I'm glad it is whenever we have a service. I'm glad. You say, well, Brother Martin, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm just not too glad about nothing. Well, you know what? You be glad. Do it. It's an attitude. And then when you get here, your attitude is supposed to be, I'm going to be in there. I'm going in there. I'm going to praise God. I am going to do what I said. Open my mouth. Sing. Release it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And God, it's like he's in heaven. And he's saying, I sure hope you do. Because if you do, that motivates me. And then I inhabit those praises. I inhabit those praises. I heard a sermon here a little while back by Katrina Wilson, Pastor Fred Wilson's wife. He and Katrina shepherded the church Kathy and I attended when we first got married. It was a great church. In fact, Pastor Wilson, Katrina, they've both been here. She actually taught a conference on dreams and visions many years ago. Just outstanding. Well, I was listening to this sermon, and I don't remember who it was that said this originally, but hear this statement. When we enter His presence with praise, He enters our circumstances with power. Let that sink in. Is it possible that a lack of seeing God move in power in your life is because you're not praising Him? Okay, let's think of it like this. I get it. You're away from church. You're at home. You're in your car, wherever. And you never say, praise you, Lord. You never say, thank you, Lord. You never say, I love you, Lord. You never do it. Okay. But when you come here, this is the perfect opportunity to do it and not look stupid. Because a lot of people think they're going to look stupid if they praise God. You can come here and do this. Is it possible that a lack of experiencing a move of God's power in your life is because there's an absence of praise, an absence of worship? When we enter His presence with praise, He enters our circumstances with power. See, attitude is a choice. It is a choice. Look over in Psalm 42. Because you've always got people who might come along and say, well, yeah, but Pastor Jim, you just don't understand. You know, I've had one stinking lousy week. Or, you know, I've got a stinking lousy job. Or I've got a, you know, stuff just not going right. I had a stinky lousy morning. Got problems at home, problems here, blah, blah, et cetera, and so forth. And I'm just, you know, I really don't want to hear you talk about attitude, because you don't know, until you walk a mile in my shoes, then, you know, back off. Now, nobody really says that out loud, but let's just say it's possible some people might think it. Well, you know what? How about if I let you walk a mile in my shoes? And you deal with everybody that says, you need to walk a mile in my shoes. Now, again, anyway, when it comes to attitude, I want you to read along with me here. I'm going to read this to you. It's in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul for thee, O God. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's like, well, this guy's having a good day. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, yeah, he's having a really good day. Looking forward to going to church. Ooh, he's happy. Uh-oh, wait a minute, verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Ooh, look what he did. He's having a lousy day. His tears have been his meat night and day. What did he do to deal with it? He goes to church where people are praising and worshiping God. He doesn't go to a church where people sit on their thumbs. He goes to church where people are praising and worshiping God. And then verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Guess what's happening here? He's admitting, I've had a lousy week, I've had a lousy morning, I've got a lousy car, I've got lousy kids, got a lousy wife, got a lousy life, got a lousy every stinking thing. My soul is disquieted in me. But you know what? I'm going to hope in God, and I'm going to praise Him for the help of His countenance. There it is. Attitude. A choice. Yeah? Things are going rough, but I will praise Him. Verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. and my prayer unto the God of my life. In the night his song shall be with me. In other words, I'm not going to go to bed and lay there and cry and moan and groan and bellyache and fuss and be all worried about, you know, how come this, why not that, where's God, when's it going to change, blah, 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 blah. No, he says, when I hit the sack, his song will be with me. And he says, I will say unto my God, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies approach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So here you have somebody that's probably going through stuff you can't even imagine. How many of you remember David was being chased by the king, Saul? Remember that? Saul was trying to find him so he could kill him. David's hiding in caves and all this other... You remember that story, right? Okay, how many of you can say the president is coming after me and he's trying to kill me? None of you. How many of you can say the governor's coming after me and he's... I'm having to live underneath a, you know, an old tree, or I'm trying to dig a hole and he's going to kill me. None of you. None of you. None of you. This guy was going through a rough time in life and he's telling you about it. However, he says, in spite of what my emotions are going through, I'm going to praise God because he is the health of my countenance. Because when I praise him, listen, when you're truly praising God, it's going to be hard to have old sourpuss face. Because he's the health of your countenance. So when it comes to attitude, don't say, look, guys, if this is the first time anybody had ever heard a sermon like this, you know, there would be grace. All right? There's still grace to a point. But don't even try the... I'm having a bad day. Don't even try. I just don't know how it's going to happen. Don't even try that on me after all these years, after 85 sermons on praise and worship. 85? That doesn't even include the sermons about praise and worship that didn't have praise and worship in the title. After 85? Come on. We should be further along than this. Those people that we saw on the video, when they come in here, they should feel at home. They should feel like, wow, this is just like being back at wherever they were. That's the way it should be. And when people come in here, people who've never been in a church like this, and they come from a church like my background, and they walk in here, and the praise and worship is going on, it shouldn't be, man, these people can sing. It should be, man, these people are worshiping God. Man, these people are praising God. They should feel the presence of God in the praise and worship when they walk through those doors. It should be that alive in this place. And the only reason that it's not every single service is if we don't do it. If we are not participating, if we are not engaged. Look in Psalm 45. In Psalm 45, look at this, verse 17. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. What legacy of worship are you leaving behind? What are you, if you're a parent, what are you teaching your children through what you do? Are you leaving a legacy of praise and worship for the next generation? Are you leaving a legacy of praise and worship for the generation after that one, like grandchildren and so forth? What legacy are you leaving? Because if I had been raised in a home to where my mom and dad were, they had been raised in a praise and worship atmosphere, And they weren't. That's just, you know, the kind of church they were in. But then if that was going on at home, And then if it carried over into church, that would have been something that would have been a part of me from babyhood. Train up a child in the way that the child's supposed to go. When they get old, they're never going to be able to remove it from within. What is the legacy that you're leaving behind? And not just for your own kids, but for all the kids in the church. What is the legacy? How are you training them up? This is absolutely critical for us as a church, as a congregation. We want outpouring, we want revival. We've got to have the worship. That's just the way it is. And we can't say, well, I just don't feel like it. Neither did the person in Psalm 42. You know, what is the legacy? See, with your kids, okay, they know if things aren't going right. And they can tell if you're a little upset about things, all right? Well, for one thing, kids, their brains are still developing, and they're kind of stupid when it comes to understanding there's a difference between what I'm seeing in Daddy and what God can do. All right? And their brains are still developing, all right? So it's a growing process. That's why it's so important to demonstrate this no matter what. Now, you say, well, yeah, but, you know, that was David, you know, he was God's favorite and all that. I remember God reading David the Riot Act because of this, you know, Bathsheba thing. Remember that? God didn't let it pass. Look over in Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, look at verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Do you realize that if you come in and you're just here, you are not engaged, you are not an active participant, you are not glorifying God? What's it say? God says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And notice it says, whoso offereth praise. In other words, God is saying, okay, I'm here. Now, you're the one that has to offer it to me. Praise is one of the greatest offerings that you can bring to God. And he says, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. So if we want to have an experience with God by virtue or as a result of glorifying him, then praising him, he's telling you right here, if you offer praise, you will be glorifying me. What does that mean to glorify God? Well, one way to look at it is this. You will be magnifying your awareness of God in your life. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now look in Psalm 57. Psalm 57, just read, look here in verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. See, when your heart is fixed, then what you're saying is, it does not matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what happened last week, yesterday, day before. Doesn't matter what happened on the job or at the grocery store or while I was driving. It doesn't matter what happened at home before we left to come to church. It doesn't matter. My heart is fixed. And my emotions will not unfix my heart. That word fixed, one way to think of it is, it's set in cement. My heart is fixed. And I'm going to praise you, God, no matter what. I'm going to praise you. You know what's challenging about a message like this? The expectation of a congregation is that, well, the pastor is going to be the one to do this. The pastor is going to be one. He will set the example. You know, he's the pastor. He's supposed to do that. And a lot of people then in the congregation, they give themselves a pass. Well, I'm not the pastor, and, you know, I'm not on the praise team, so I really don't have to be as engaged. Okay, my question to you would be, where do you see that in Scripture? Where is that in the Word? Well, it's not there. You think, and I don't know who this applies to, but people think I can give myself a pass on this because I'm not the pastor and I live a normal life. And because I live a normal life, then if I don't feel like it when I come in, if I'm in a bad mood, things aren't going right, blah, blah, you know, the kids, you know, I wish I could sell them, give them away, you know, put them on Craigslist or something. But I just don't feel like it today. And I know I didn't feel like it last week either. And besides that, I can't sing very, very well. Well, you can't just, look, go ahead, bring me all your, put them down on a piece of paper. Bring me your list of excuses and reasons. Because none of them can be supported by Scripture. You are building your praise house on sand. And it can't stand. There are no reasons good enough to say, I'm not doing this. Or I just don't feel like it. In Psalm 91, look over there. Psalm 91. And take a look at look what God says in verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Do you realize one of the ways we set our love on God is praise and worship. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. We pour our love out on him. In fact, there's a song, you know, I'm pouring my love on you. He says, because he set his love on me, I'll deliver him. Is it possible? Is it possible that some of the people attending this church have struggled in areas of their lives, I just want to be delivered from whatever. Is it possible that the deliverance is waiting for your worship? And as soon as you begin to praise and worship, you're going to break this thing, whatever it is. Doesn't matter, whatever it is. And it may take, you know, a period of time of having your heart fixed and praising God, but he says right here, you set your love on me, I'll deliver you. If you do this, there will be deliverance in your life. See, this is a promise from God. And, you know, the word from last Sunday morning, you know, don't take him for granted. Well, taking him for granted is pretty much ignoring these things he said in his word about praise and worship. This is, you know how sometimes, well, Wednesday night, sometimes it feels like we're singing alone. I don't know how else to say this other than to say there are times when I'm delivering a message and I know people are hearing, but I know it's not going any further than their ears. You know, just to kind of paint an image there. Because think about this, after 85 sermons and innumerable prophecies about praise and worship, if people aren't doing it by now, then guess what? You got a wall built. The words are there, but it's not making any difference to you. And I also know this, there are some people who get so offended over a message like this, I'm not going back to that church. Well, I don't think you understand I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you have the greatest breakthrough with God in your life. And as a congregation, to have a breakthrough. You know, we talk about, we want to see more people, we want to see more people. Is it possible that our lack of congregational praise and worship, the way it's described in Scripture, is it possible that has not torn down walls to where people would come in? See, we don't know what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. Now, something else that Katrina Wilson said in the sermon was, praising the Lord for his benefits releases his benefits into our life. And, you know, in the Bible it talks about, you know, praising the Lord and don't forget all his benefits. Praising the Lord for his benefits releases his benefits into our life. Because it opens that channel, if you will, it opens that pathway in the realm of the Spirit for us to receive what God has already promised belongs to us. And it all goes back to the praise and worship. Praise and worship is not something to which we attain. It's something we release. You don't wait for it to be in you. You know why? Because it's already there. The moment you got born again, God put praise and worship in that new nature. I mean, it's in the new nature, and the moment that you get born again and you receive that born again life, you're also receiving the praise and worship that comes that's in that born again life. It's already there. We're born again, and praise and worship is already a part of our spiritual life. But we're the ones that have to release it. When we open our mouths and we begin to listen to release the praise and, you know, release the worship, release the songs, just begin to put it out there, what we're doing is we're accessing and we are utilizing something God has already put in us, something that's already alive on the inside. But if we don't do it, it's there. You know, I can stand in our kitchen and, you know, fuss and complain, I'm hungry, be looking right at the refrigerator the whole time. I'm hungry. But guess what? I need to open the refrigerator because there's food. Do you understand this? The praise and the worship, it's in there. I want to see God move. Where are the benefits? Where are the blessings? Where are the promises? And God said, look, if you'd praise me, you're going to enter into a place where I exist, and my presence will fill yours, and we can commune together, and things will begin to change. But we can't be, you know, a haphazard worshiper. I'll do it when I feel like it. I'll show up, and I'll do it whenever. You know, just what? You know, well, today's not a good day. In fact, I don't even think I'm going to church today. I think I'm just going to stay home. I'm just not in the mood. Feel sorry for you. Feel sorry for you. Because that does not line up with who you are in Christ. You know, praise and worship is a result of a conscious decision on the part of the individual. It is not a result of a move of the Holy Spirit. It is a result of a conscious decision on the part of the individual. Well, I'll praise the Lord when the Spirit moves. Okay, are you born again? Yep, Spirit moved. You got born again. It's there. So now guess what? Release it. Do what you said at the beginning of this service. I will sing. I will praise. In the congregation. I will not let my glory be silent. My lips will not be locked. I will praise. I will worship. I was listening to a teaching by Phil Driscoll, and he said, you can't praise God for great victory, then go home and complain that you don't know how you're going to make it. Anybody ever done that? Please don't respond. How do I know that's happened in here? Because when you come in here, you know, with sourpuss face, when you come in here carrying your grump bag, I'm not talking about your spouse. you know what I'm talking about here. Then I know you've been at home, either internally, externally, or both, complaining about whatever. Complaining about, you know, and, you know, you come in here, and that's why when Jesus was talking about a prophecy where God said, these people, you know, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, you know, you can go through the motions and be fussing and complaining the whole time. This is stupid. You know, I don't know about this. Well, you know what? When my heart is fixed, the complaining won't move it. The situation won't move it. And I will worship God. And when I go home, my worship will go with me. That will be my attitude when I get home. Every single person, really in any church, but let's just talk about this one. Every single person should be worshiping as though he or she is the worship leader. Every single one of you. No exceptions. You should be worshiping and praising God as though you're the person up here at the keyboard or with the microphone or whatever, facilitating, leading people into the worship. But too many people come in and they're just waiting. You know, I hope she doesn't tell us to stand. I don't feel like it today. You know what? You should be the first one on your feet. You see, this is where we're taking God for granted. We're expecting God to just move and have an outpouring and have revival when we don't even want to praise Him. And I'm not saying we never want to praise. Don't misunderstand me. But it shouldn't be hit or miss. There should be a consistency in every single service. We should be praising and worshiping God. There is no... we've got three keyboards up here. And those keyboards can make all kinds of sounds. You know, you can make them sound like trumpets or drums or guitars or whatever. They make all kinds of sounds. And then, we've got a guitar up here and we've got a cajon up here. And who knows what other instruments are going to end up being here. But there is no instrument greater than your voice. Your vocal cords are like the strings on a guitar. Or you know what, you ever seen a grand piano where that the top of it's lifted up, you can see all those piano, the cords, the strings in there? Okay, that's your vocal cords. Your vocal cords are a miniature version of a piano, of a guitar, of a violin. And here's what's interesting. You know, just like we have these keyboards up here, I'm listening, but I don't hear anything coming from the keyboards. And you say, well, of course, Pastor Jim, there's nobody up there doing anything. Exactly. Until these keyboards are activated, they make no sound. And the only way they're activated is when somebody's there doing their thing. Likewise with our vocal cords. They are dormant until activated by the individual. And when I sing, you know, when we begin to praise the Lord and we begin to sing, what we're literally doing, and this is so cool, we're activating, we're playing our instrument. Because our vocal cords, think in terms of the piano or the guitar, all right? They can only do what they can do. But do you realize with my internal, with your internal, you know, piano, the strings in there, do you realize you can create a voice with them? You say, well, I knew that. Yeah, well, bear with me. You can also imitate, you know, okay. What am I doing? Well, I'm not singing. What I'm doing, okay, bear with me here. I'm replicating the sound of a guitar or a violin. You follow what I'm saying here? A violin can't sound like a human voice. But these vocal cords, our internal instrument, can sound like the voice of a human being. And you if you just think about this, hopefully you'll understand it a little bit better. I'm getting looks like, duh. But no, listen to this. No one on earth, nobody can play an instrument, any instrument, better than you can play yours. Nobody. I don't care what the instrument is. You are an accomplished musician who can usher in the presence of God. All you have to do is activate your instrument. And you begin worshiping God. I want to show you something. What I have right here is a document that I have titled The Praises of Psalms. Now, in this document, there's approximately 8 full pages of verses just from Psalms about praise and worship. Actually, there are 2 verses, one from Hebrews, one from Matthew, that are prophetically relevant to something written in Psalms. But other than that, 8 pages, almost 8 pages of verses just from Psalms. Not from any other book, just from Psalms. And Psalm 22:23, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all ye seed of Israel. Psalm 27:6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 63:3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I mean, on and on and on and on it goes. On and on. If these sermons don't motivate you, maybe God's Word will. So guess what? Everybody can have a copy if they want. And if there are any left over, it's going to speak volumes about... Well, never mind. Before you leave today, you can come up and take one if you want. We have plenty. And guess what? We can print more. This is so crucial. You know, it's interesting, when it comes to praise and worship, that is one subject I thoroughly enjoy teaching about. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe because I thoroughly enjoy praise and worship. But this is something for us, at this point in time, after all these years, for what we do and what we want to see God do, guys, for every single person who calls this church their home, this has got to change. We 100% have to be engaged. Absolutely have to be engaged. Now, after a message like this, you know, you can say, all right, everybody stand up. We're going to praise the Lord. Well, everybody's going to feel guilty if they don't. So everybody stands up and they start praising God. You know what? I don't want you motivated. I see a couple of people stand up. I don't want you motivated by guilt. I don't want you motivated by, well, if I don't look, everybody's going to be looking at me. I got a better, hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to be motivated out of your love for the Lord and your desire for His presence. That's what the motivation should be. Now, we're going to stop here, and I'm going to finish this up tonight. And what I will tell you about the message tonight, I'm going to share some things that I've never taught on praise and worship before. I'm going to share some things that I'm guessing it's possible none of you have ever heard from the Bible. And some of what I share, you'll probably at first sit there and think, I know for a fact you're wrong. Because, and in your mind you'll be thinking, you say, well, Brother Martin, why don't you tell us? No, that's tonight. I think you're going to really enjoy this. And then tonight at the end of the service, there'll be some praise. There'll be some worship. I hope it's because you want to. Please, don't get offended by the message today or the message tonight. We need to hear this because we want to see this outpouring and this revival. And we want to see God move. And He will. He has promised, if you give me the worship, I give you my presence, my power, my moving, my glory, I will lift you up.